Blog Talk Radio.
King Rob is hilarious.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Hit the quad. Hit the quad.
Sir Robert Fortune. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Uh-oh. How's it go, fellas?
Yes, sir.
Seen the nation stand up.
Never gets old.
All right. America, what's happening?
Yes, sir.
Talking Sports with the 12th Man is officially here. Fellas, what is going on today, of course, is October the 4th.
Yeah.
Man, we got baseball, we got football, we got college, we got pro, we got everything. Fellas, of course, we are ready to get this party started. Let me jump, check in with my fellas. First and foremost, Mr. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. All these sports combined this time of year is fantastic. I love it. Great show material.
It is awesome. We're having fun on that, too. So, first up, we got to check in with my other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Coming to you from the land of red beans and rice, gumbo and po' boys.
Oh, my gosh.
I had some lobster and shrimp tacos today, so I got to talk about my weekly food.
Yeah.
So feeling great.
But we balling. I had some lobster and shrimp. Get out of
all
here,
the
man.
Time.
Probably paid about $15 for tacos.
Oh, man. We were having some fun.
Oh, man.
See, Rob, so I'm going to let you know, kind of have your moment. So I'm going to let you have a moment talking about, you know, what you ate and where you're checking in from, too. So it's always a fun time, too. But, of course, we're ready. America, we're ready to jump in. Got a lot of things to talk about. Let's hit the numbers if you always want to call in to us. Talk to your boys. That number is always 424-243-9519. That is the number if you want to reach out to your boys. If you want to follow us on Twitter, go to the number 12, THMAN Sports, and we are in that sphere, that space. And then finally, last but not least, we're also available on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen, let's kick this party off. We're going to jump right into baseball. I think this is something that JQ was pretty excited about because we didn't kind of talk about that for the past couple of weeks. But now we are here, playoffs, and I guess let's kick it off. And I guess, JQ, we're going to let you have the floor first. Who do you think would be the best World Series matchup, sir?
Oh, well, you know what baseball wants, and I think it's probably pretty obvious. From the AL side, you talk about Boston with Dave Ortiz in his retirement year. You know, everybody likes a nice little bow on the end of things, and that would give him a chance to go out. Not that I'm a Red Sox fan, but from a matchup you want to see, especially from MLB standpoint, to go out on top. But you talk about it, though. It's not just him, you know, with Bedoya and, you know, the Killer Bees with Betts and the other two losing, Bradley and Bogarts. He's got a nice team. The only thing about them I worry about is I just can't trust David Price, you know, in the clutch. And I know that may just be me, but I can't do it. But him and Porcello, give him a nice 1-2 punch. And, of course, the Cubs. I mean, you know, it's good to laugh at them and call them, you know, everybody's a lucky loser. But they just have a squad. I mean, you talk about that starting pitching with Arrieta and Lester and Hendricks. And, oh, by the way, you throw a Lackey and a Hamill behind them. And, you know, Zobrist, Bryant, Russell, Rizzo, Fowler, you know, Hayward every now and again. So they're like, they just have a squad, and I hate it for my Reds because they're going to have to deal with them for a long time because they have a squad. Mm-hmm. But I think to drive the ratings and what MLB wants, it's got to be a Red Sox Cubs World Series.
Rob, what do you think about that, sir?
Well, absolutely. Just, you know, just from a viewer standpoint, I think there are actually quite a few intriguing matchups if they were to come to place. I think you can look at if the Giants were to somehow win tomorrow, can they – they have somewhat of a strange dynasty going on. They won 3 out of the last 6 World Series, trying to see if they can make it 4 out of 7. I mean, if you had a Giants, Red Sox, World Series, you're talking about Baumgartner, Quit, Jeff Samardzija going to go against that lineup for the Red Sox. That could also be an intriguing matchup. You can look at the Beltway World Series. If you somehow get the Nationals and if the Orioles somehow pull off this game tonight, which I last checked was still 2-2, if you had a Beltway World Series. Of course, the Indians and the Cubs. I mean, the Indians hasn't won a World Series since 1948. The Cubs haven't won a World Series since 1700. No, just kidding, 1908 to be exact. The Cubs haven't won a World Series in 1908. So just think, if you had an Indians-Cubs World Series, only one of those squads gets to lead the weight of the world off their shoulders. That could be very intriguing. Red Sox-Dodgers, two teams that were big spenders, face off. Both of them have insane talent in their dugouts. And then you can look at possible Clayton Kershaw versus David Price matchup on the mound. So that could be intriguing. Then, as JQ just mentioned, Cubs and Red Sox, who, in my opinion, are probably the two best teams in baseball. Fenway Park, Wrigley Field, you can't get better than that. The cursed Cubs going against the formerly cursed Red Sox. That can be intriguing. And, yeah, absolutely. And actually, that's my World Series prediction. Just to get a little ahead of myself, Cubs versus Red Sox.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. In terms of, I mean, you can't not just count the Dodgers because they have a fantastic story, franchise. Nobody can really dispute that. And same with the Giants. But in this year, with the Red Sox fan base and their storied history, and Dave Ortiz going out, and then with the young pups taking him out on top, potentially against the Cubs, who always are never in, and everybody has fun at them for being the level loser, but having a fully jacked squad and ending a 108-year drought. I mean, just those two storylines juxtaposed to each other is I just don't know if it gets any better, bigger than that if you include those two teams in their franchises and you throw those storylines on top of it. Excuse me.
Gotcha. No, that's good stuff, man. I like the intriguing matchups too, guys, man. It's going to be very interesting too. I mean, like you said, there's a couple things, Rob, you mentioned as far as, you know, a couple of those interesting series I think that can actually pull out. So, no matter what, gentlemen, I think it's going to be a very exciting postseason, you know, because you got, to, like you said, a lot of story franchises, and I think it's interesting. I mean, I think, like you said, it would be great to see that Red Sox, Cubs, you know, World Series or that Fall Classic, but either or, like you said, because those are the two best teams, but either or, I think it's going to be very exciting. Baseball is in actually a good position. We'll talk about a couple news as far as what's happening as well, too. So let's kick it off, gentlemen. Let's talk about a couple things here. Let's get into those playoff breakdown of predictions, and Rob, kind of kick us off as far as a couple of those, and JQ, get ready in the and on deck here, as they say, man. So go ahead, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've already kind of cheated and said that the I think it's going to be the Cubs and the Red Sox in the World Series, but I guess to break it down, obviously, I think the Nationals and the Cubs will face each other in the National League Championship Series. And I like the Cubs in that matchup. I think the Nationals can at least win two games in that series, but I like the Cubs to pull out that series. I like the Red Sox to beat the team who is ever going to be the wild card team. The Rangers. So I think the Rangers and the Red Sox will be in the ALCS, and I like the Red Sox, obviously, to pull that off. And I think the Cubs finally break their curse since 1700. And win their first World Series since 1908. I'm sorry, but it feels like 1700 for Cubs fans. Well, I think the Cubs finally come through. They've been the best team in baseball all year. I think they come through and beat the Red Sox and end their curse.
Go ahead.
Just one thing on there. I think actually Texas has the best record, so they get the wild card team, and it's Boston and Cleveland. But
yes,
I think,
absolutely.
You're right.
But I believe that I just can't. Come on, Cleveland's not winning two championships in the same year. That's just not going to happen. Stop it. It's not going to happen.
We'd have an apocalypse.
Hey, Cleveland, that's a Cincinnati kid hating on y'all.
I was just saying, the universe will not allow it to happen. The universe will not allow that to happen. I'm rooting against it. I'm just saying I don't think the universe is going to allow it to happen. Just be happy you got the Cavs. Whoop, whoop, go Cavs. But I'm going to go with Boston. I think Cleveland has a stronger rotation, but I think they're going to have a trouble scoring runs against Price and Porcello. And then, like we talked about, with Pedroia and the Killer Bees with Ortiz, I think they're going to have just too much offense in that side of it. And then on the other side of it, I kind of like Texas with that Hamels and Darvish 1-2 punch, and then you talk about Odor and the Beltre and the other guys they got in that lineup, and that Texas is just a launcher pad anyway. So I think Texas wins that series. And then you get Texas and Boston, and that one I think can really, really be a good series and go seven with a lot of drama, because I think that Hamels-Darvish lineup, 1-2 punch, if they pitch them on short days rest where they can get four starts out of them against Boston, is really going to be fun to watch. I still think Boston just gets a little bit more offense. They go on the other side. I'm not strong on the Nationals. They just have suffered way too many injuries, and they won't have Strasburg. Bryce has been a shell of himself, and they just lost their catcher the other day to a torn ACL. So I like the Dodgers to get by the Nationals. I think the Dodgers are super loaded, I think the Giants beat the Mets. The Mets don't have enough offense, and they advance to play the Cubs. And the Cubs, with everything I just said, with the rotation and the lineup, I think ends that every even year kind of crazy World Series that the Giants have been having here lately. So we end up with a Cubs versus – sorry, I lost the train of thought. Cubs versus Dodgers, and I think the Cubs is just going to be too much. And the Cubs and the Red Sox, and since we're breaking curses, Cleveland got theirs broke. I got to go with the Cubs. They just are solid from top to bottom in that lineup, and they are just deep in the rotation. And, oh, yeah, we're going to roll out Chapman in the ninth inning and throw 103 miles an hour at you. So, yeah, I'm just going to have to go with the Cubs on that.
Yeah, so we agree.
Yeah.
Cubs over Red Sox, World Series.
Yeah.
There it is. So, unfortunately, according to Falcon Sports, looks like David Ortiz, Big Papi, I can go out on top, man. But we'll see if history has different things, man. But we'll see how it plays out for sure, and we'll keep updating listeners as far as how it goes for the playoffs. All right, gentlemen.
Wrigley Field, Fenway Park.
Man,
yeah, you can't go more classic than that.
Let me tell you something, America. Beautiful. I hate the Red Sox almost as much as I hate the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, here we go.
You knew it was
First shot. Go ahead, Rob.
No, go ahead. We go to the next topic.
Okay. I'm just over. I got something for you, Rob, a little later on, man. So we'll
Boston,
talk.
Don't send me no nasty messages. Atlanta, don't send me no nasty messages either.
Robford at yahoo.com, by the way. Hey, let's look here. So after one season, the Miami Marlins have fired Barry Bonds. So I think this story, it's almost like, I know due to the fact that they struggled this year, but the fact that it's kind of weird. I don't think it's surprising, but I think it's more surprising that he got hired. But that's a whole other conversation too. But, yeah, what are your thoughts about this, JQ?
I'm not really surprised he got hired. Don Mattingly there, Don Mattingly has always kind of gone by his own little piece. Even when he had to deal with Steinbrenner in New York, he still was, that dude. So and if you got Stanton there, who better than a Bonds trying to harness some of that talent? And I think what happened is he might have kept it. You got to remember, they lost Stanton for big stretches of this part of the season. If Stanton is healthy for the whole season, and he was recovering from getting hit in the face last year, and you could tell at the beginning of this year that he wasn't all the way right. He was still, he couldn't see through that smoke, that Ricky Bobby, he couldn't see past it. And it took him a while to get past it, right? And then he got hurt a couple of times. So he really is the engine. When he's right and you got that other, that lineup is pretty good in Miami, but they got to have him there to start a drink. So I just don't know if you can really give somebody a year for the most part. Like, you just thought his magic was going to rub off in the year and you had injuries. It's tough, and that's a big old ballpark too. Like, Stanton makes it look small, but for everybody else, it's a regular sized park, right? So it wasn't going to be a whole lot of ridiculous home runs being bashed here because the park is so big. I hate to see 1 year. It's hard to get everything evaluated and turned around in a year. Yes, people have done it, but to me, it just screams impatience, and maybe it screams that he was being Barry Bonds behind the scenes and wasn't getting the production. So they were like, we're not going to keep you here to be an ass, and you're not going to give us the production. So that, for me, that's why I think what happened. Maybe we'll get some more details as some days go past. But I just think a year outside of being just a jerk behind the scenes is real tough. They were still in the wild card chase until like the last 2 weeks. Like, they weren't out of it. So he did a decent amount of okay, but come on. A year is tough. But it might be karma.
Go ahead, Rob. Yep.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you look at the prior to being hired, the Marlins were near the bottom of the league when it comes to hitting and the ownership. as well as Don Mattingly, will looking to see what they can do to get their bats on fire. And so, obviously, Barry Bonds, one of the greatest hitters of all time. You can obviously, there's a lot of controversy with that, but when it comes down it, his hand-eye coordination was one of the best that I've ever seen in a game. And so they obviously want to see if some of that can translate from a coaching standpoint on down to the Miami Marlins. They only improve. They had very little improvement, but they did have some improvement this season. But it didn't. They didn't have the kind of improvement that they were looking for. And also, Barry Bonds and Don Mattingly just straight up did not get along. And I think that more so. That more so than even the little improvement with the hitting was the nail in the coffin. They just did not mesh. Mattingly, of course, had a press conference this year where he pretty much called Barry Bonds out publicly. And so that's pretty much where it nailed down to. Their relationship just obviously just sank after that. They just didn't mesh very well. And that's the end of Barry Bonds in Miami.
I didn't know that, but, yeah, see, it has to be that. Okay. Now it makes sense.
There you go. All right, gentlemen, let's go on to the next topic. We've got about kind of a good halfway point of the show, about 13 minutes in. So
the next topic was threw in for Andre.
Uh-oh. I was going to say this is Rob Ford's favorite player, Tim Tebow. they announced the next step in his career. I guess he's going down to the Arizona Fall League. So, Rob, take it away, man, for your favorite player, man. Go ahead, man.
This one was threw in for you, buddy. But anyway, obviously Tim Tebow has been in an instructional league, and now he's going to have to step up in competition. The Mets are going to throw him in the fire in the Arizona Fall League, which, you know, has some of the top prospects in the game competing. So they're going to test the skills. Obviously, you're talking about a 29-year-old in Tim Tebow who hadn't played baseball since, I believe, either high school or the college level. So obviously there's a lot of work to be done.
Yep.
And, I mean, he's saying all the right things. Obviously, he's confident. And he's ready to prove himself. So it'll be interesting to follow along and to see, you know, what he can do, going from an instructional league up to the Arizona Fall League. So that's your Tim Tebow update, which I know everybody in America is interested in.
Hey, man, he hit a home run his first pitch, man.
First at bat.
Man. That's what's all
about. Yeah, instructional league.
First at bat. I'm sorry. First at bat, not first pitch. First at bat. Let me be clear with that. Thanks, JQ. Go ahead, man. Your thoughts, man.
Yeah, but I mean, right, but dude is seriously jacked too, and he always says the right things. Now, I don't know him or heard any stories about maybe he's phony and that's a persona, but if that's how he is, I'm rooting for him to do what he's doing. He says that people laugh at it, but he is taking a pay cut from being behind the desk wearing nice suits every week, where he could get paid a whole lot of money to talk about football, and he's out there toiling with 21-year-olds trying to live his dream. So I'm not going to hate on him. I don't know if it's going to work or if it's going to succeed, but he seems to have the right attitude. He's sacrificing his time and his money to try to do it, you know, and he's clearly kept himself in fantastic shape. So, you know, more power to him. If it don't work out, you know, the SEC Network will always have a spot for him.
Fair enough. Yeah, he's already got a backup job. That's a good way to go out, man. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do. I still got a backup job. So, yeah. I ain't crying
for a very well-paid backup job.
Yep.
There it is. There
absolutely.
Hey, Rob, what's the update on the Blue Jays Orioles? What's the update on that matchup right now, sir?
Let's see here. Maybe one of you guys might have still 2-2. It looked like they just ended the 10th inning.
Yeah.
So, look like we in for a barn burner here in Toronto.
Adam Jones just made a really good catch. Adam Jones just made a really good catch to end the bottom of the 10th inning, a running catch. It was two outs, though, so he saved probably a double, but he didn't save a run. Nobody was on base. So, on to the top of the 11th, the commercial.
Good deal. All right, manager of the year for Major League Baseball. JQ, who do you got your favorite for this, sir?
Oh, I mean, is it anybody other than Madden? I mean, I really don't know. I mean, you taking a downtrodden franchise that, you know, they were getting it together. They were on the upswing, don't get me wrong, but he fully maximized that talent and played the chess pieces quite right. And he's got the temperature of the clubhouse, which you can never discount. I just don't know how you vote for anybody else. Is anybody else even on the ballot?
Yeah, I got to check. Yeah, they got the, you know, but, yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Maybe Francona, any
of those on there.
Indians?
Yeah, Francona.
Maybe Francona.
Dusty Baker, that's about it. On there too?
No, but they were supposed to be a playoff team.
Well, I totally agree. When you look at the National League, it's got to be Joe Maddon. I think he's pushing the right buttons on and off the field. I think as far as motivational tactics and things of that nature, obviously he was handed a talented team, but I think that's not always easy as well to win with a talented team. So I think he's pushed the right buttons on and off the field. So you got to go Matt. Obviously Dusty Baker taking over the mess with the Nationals from Matt Williams, I think did a very formidable job as well, but it's still got to go to Matt. And when you look at the American League, obviously Jeff Banister, the Rangers, John Farrell, the Red Sox are very deserving candidates, but I would have to go with Terry Francona of the Indians in the American League. Obviously, the Indians had control of this Central Division early in the season. They held off the Royals and the Tigers late. I think you would have to go with Francona in the American League.
Yep.
Good call. All right. This is the big question, America. I know you've been waiting for it. Romo or Prescott? Oh! I even texted one of my Cowboy friends, and he was pretty excited about this, too. So shout out to Leonard about that. I know he's pretty excited about that. I said the same thing. Really quickly, his response was Prescott is a guy for the future. They'll probably let Romo come back when he gets healthy, but at least you know that they have a capable backup. So he's thinking that's pretty interesting from that perspective, too. So, JQ, what are your thoughts, man?
Man, it's tough. It's really tough. And the reason why it's so tough is because of Dez Bryant. And the reason why I say that is that if you look at Dez Bryant's numbers, he just produces more with Tony Romo than he does any other quarterback. And I know that most of those other quarterbacks are garbage. But Prescott's been still been pretty good. But Prescott's been distributing the ball around. And they've been winning some games, but they haven't been really killing anybody, so to speak. They've been winning games, though. So you got to give him that. I think it really comes down to this. I think they said is it week 8 they're talking about looking for his return, week 8, week 9. If Dallas is 6-2 or 6-1 going into week 8, I don't know if you can put Prescott on the bench. Now, if they're 4-3, you can say, you know what, the kid kept us above 500. Okay, Tony, get us to the playoffs. But if he's 5-2 or 6-1 heading into week 8, and that's the week that you're targeting, bringing back Tony Romo, I don't know. I don't know if you can do it. I just don't know if I can give a definitive answer because it just truly depends on what their record is and the way they play right up until Tony Romo is available to come back. If Dak Prescott is still balling, I don't know if you can sit him down.
Wow. Yeah, man. Hey, I love it, man. So, Rob, what are your thoughts about this, man, right about now, man? Because right now, yeah.
The Funk Show Brother.
Yeah, Funk Show Brother. Well, yep, go ahead.
Well, I think if you go off of what I've seen right now, I would have to go with Prescott. I mean, obviously they're 3-1 at the moment. They're playing solid football. Obviously the Cowboys got a tremendous offensive line, solid running game now. Obviously you would like to get a weapon like Dez Bryant involved in offense. Obviously he's got to get healthy, number one. I'm more concerned about Tony Romo's career. He's just having way too many back injuries. And I would be very concerned, and I think he really should be considering retirement, in my personal opinion. And so I think if you're the Cowboys, you continue to ride with Prescott, you continue to develop him, help him to grow as a quarterback in the National Football League, and he's your guy going forward. That's my opinion.
I like it. Gentlemen, and you know I'm always like pulling these crazy, not really crazy, but just interesting points in that I got to say Dallas is a great young team. You got Ezekiel Elliott, you got Prescott. And watch out, gentlemen. I think you maybe see a situation where Dez Bryant may be traded because if Dak is playing this good so far, you get a couple of draft picks or you get like another young wide receiver to kind of grow with that squad. You know, just kind of keep an eye on that too because right now with Dez, I know you said it earlier too, JQ, about how he kind of played better with Romo. But I think, you know, having a diva-like receiver like that may not be good for a young quarterback, but if you get like a nice, you know, receiver that's talented, but you know, just kind of like goes to work, that would be the guy that they may like look towards the future. But that's just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind as far as what's happening.
One more
Dez,
for you,
because right now he's kind of hurt. Yeah, so we'll see.
One more for you. What about Tony Romo?
What do you mean?
What about say the same way you saw Minnesota be desperate when Bridgewater went down and traded one in the four?
Oh yeah.
What about Tony Romo being traded by a desperate team saying you got Dak Prescott? We'll give you this two and this three for 2 years of Tony Romo because we feel like we are just right there outside of it. Maybe like a New York Jets with a good defense mostly, but they can't get it right at the quarterback. Do they make that deal with Decker and Marshall out there out wide? So and Forte in the backfield. So I'm just saying that's another piece. When you said that, it made me think about Tony Romo, kind of Joe Montana to Kansas City kind of thing. Later in the career, can you kind of help us out and maybe bridge this gap till we get somebody? So another thing to keep in mind.
Even Cleveland or somebody that's desperate can probably do that.
He would retire before he went to Cleveland.
I know. I'm just saying that. You can see some teams that have draft picks. But I'm with you on that. That's a good call. Very good point. All right. And let's keep it going here. 4 minutes here. And pretty excited for you, JQ. Guess what? Guess who's back? Back again. Brady's back. Out for revenge. There you go. That's right, man. At 12:01, man, he was like, I'm in the building. I'm ready to roll. And apparently he is out for revenge, Rob. I'll let you kick it off, man. I'll save it for JQ.
Well, all I'm going to say about this, Tom Brady desperately wants Roger Goodell to hand him that Super Bowl trophy. I can tell you that right now. He desperately, there's nothing more that he wants is for Roger Goodell, Hitler himself, to hand Tom Brady the Super Bowl winning trophy. That's all I can tell you. Tom Brady is going to come out with a vengeance, nasty. There's nothing more that he wants than that.
And, again, the reason why the universe will let Cleveland be great, guess who the Patriots get this week in his revenge tour? That's right, the Cleveland Browns. And if you got any Patriots, you can find the Patriots defense in any fantasy league. They are a must start because they are going to go nuts. Look, they get 3-1. I know they didn't like how things went down, being shot at home for the first time in forever by Buffalo. But 3-1, given where they were with Garoppolo and Brissett, I mean, is a godsend. And, they're going to need to go, sorry for my French, they're going to need to go batshit on people here down in the next 12 games. They're going to go nuts. Are they going to go down trying to go nuts? I don't want to be on the other end of that. And I do. Week six, we at New England, and I'm so dreading that.
Cleveland needs a quarterback like a dead man needs a coffin.
Man, that's pretty crazy. Woo! Hey, we'll see how it plays out too, man. All right, gentlemen. That's pretty bad. All right. We got about 2 minutes and 20-something seconds. Rob, let's talk about this really quickly. Talk about Eli Manning on Odell Beckham being a target. Said he brought him himself. Go ahead and comment on that real quickly.
Well, he's right. I think as a leader of the team, it's time for him to step up because Odell Beckham is costing his team. Yeah, well, hey, it is what it is. And I'm just going to call him out, man. Stop acting like a little wuss, Odell Beckham. Toughen up. Stop letting these guys get underneath your skin. And it's time for you to go out there and play football and stop worrying about people targeting you. Stop acting like a little wuss and go play some football. I mean,
keep it clean.
The talent is there. It's time for him to go out there and start playing football and stop costing his team. I mean, last night it cost him a 15-yard penalty. And, I don't know if they were to score, but they had just got a first down, cost him a 15-yard penalty with his foolishness. I mean, somebody's got to get underneath them. And I know he's the LSU and a New Orleans kid, but, hey, time for you to toughen up, kid.
15 seconds. Go ahead, JQ.
I'm just going to leave you with this. I have a friend that's a Giants fan, and he's been a staunch OBJ defender. And I texted him last night, thoughts on OBJ. And he basically said in a nutshell, they don't have it because their coach is too young. Eli hasn't stepped up. And he feels like the OBJ is on the way of T.O. with the suicide and the pills because he's just way out of control, and they need somebody to rein him in. And this is from somebody that is a diehard Giants fan, was embracing all the OBJ culture, and he feels like that. So, yeah, come on, OBJ. When your fans start to turn on you, you're wrong, period.
Yeah, 30 seconds, Rob. Do the OT for.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everyone for tuning in. We still got more football to talk, so definitely want to tune in to the same link on tomorrow. We got some more NFL. We got more college football. We got a little NBA we're going to squeeze into, so you definitely don't want to miss us. Click on the same link on tomorrow. We'll be back on live on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, for our friends in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That is going to be 9 p.m. for you. For our friends in California, that will be 8 p.m. for you. Make sure you all tune in on next week. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Stay classy, San Diego. And for the love of Christ, stop fumbling, giving the Saints wins on foolishness.
Hey, we needed that win like a dead man needed a coffin, too.
I was going to say, man, I was like pulling for it, man. They kept giving it away, man. So
we needed that like a fat kid need cake.
You going to let Drew Brees out the corner?
Man. Yeah, Drew Brees is like, man, you gonna let him out the corner? Is
Brees out the corner?
No, they got a lot more work to do before they get out of the corner. I say it to get a win, but they need more work to do. Can't let them off that easy.
Okay, I want to make sure they're off restriction.
So let's keep it going here as we're in the OT portion here. Let's talk about some NFL playoff teams from last year that are off to a rough start this season. So, yeah, I already know where you're going to go with this one, talking about something. But go ahead, Rob, just kick it off, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about this briefly on, I think, our show last week. Every year in the National Football League, there's at least 4 to 6 teams that made the playoffs that don't go to next year. So every year you're looking at about a 4 to 6 turnover when it comes to the playoffs, which is incredible when it comes to parity in the National mm-hmm. Football League. You look at the Carolina Panthers. You're talking about a team that went 15-1 last season. Only lost one game mm-hmm. in the regular season to that team in Atlanta. And
yeah! Rise up, Falcons!
Oh, why did I have to get that going? But now you're off to 1-3 start. They're getting off to a rough start. Their secondary is atrocious. They obviously missed Josh Norman. Number 25 of Carolina, whoever you are, man, I tell you, boy, Julio Jones gave him the business this past week. Yeah, even when he was on him, he was missing tackles. But this team and their offensive line, obviously they were strong in the interior, they were weak on the exterior, the tackle position, and they're still weak there. So this team has some issues right now, the Carolina Panthers. When you look at the Arizona Cardinals, another team, went to the NFC Championship game last season, mm-hmm. off to a 1-3 start. When you look at that division now, you have the Rams at 3-1, you have Seattle at 3-1, so obviously it's still early in the season. But, Carson Palmer's coming off a concussion, which they're saying he still may play on Thursday night. That's hard for me to believe in a quick turnaround he will come back and play. So it's interesting there. And the Redskins are 2-2. They've won 2 in a row. Maybe they're righting the ship a little bit. Obviously, you still got the Eagles undefeated in that division. The Giants have fell back down to 2-2, and you have the Cowboys at 3-1. So we'll see. The Redskins beat the Giants on the road last week, come back at home and beat Cleveland. So we'll see if they're getting back on the right track. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs, also another playoff team, 2-2. I thought defensively they looked very well last week, but that was against the putrid New York Jets offense, so maybe that was a little bit deceiving. They beat the Jets last week 24-7. Then the Steelers just came out there and beat the stew out of them on Sunday night. So now they're 2-2. And you look at JQ's Bengals here, are 2-2 as well. Maybe not too concerning for them just yet, but these are five teams that are either 500 or below that went to the playoffs on last season.
Thank you for mentioning my Falcons, Rob. Rise up, Falcons. What's what it's all about every week. Take care of your thoughts, man.
Yeah, he didn't leave me a whole lot of meat on that bone. That's pretty much where I was going to go with
it. No, he didn't.
Yeah, but I give the Bengals a slight pass, not because of my homerism, but they got dealt.
Yeah, it's because of your homer.
No, they got a pretty tough opening stretch of games, and you're going to find out about them. The same way I said it about the Falcons, you're going to find out about them with that Carolina-Seattle-Denver stretch. They gave the Bengals a rough opening game at New York, at Pittsburgh, home to Miami. And then, you still got to go to Dallas and still got to go to New England. That's a tough six games. So I'm not going to press the panic button too much, but for me, it's what you hit on with the Panthers. that loss to Atlanta, and don't get me wrong, they feel like after being 15-1, they're supposed to beat Atlanta, and I know they feel like that. And let Minnesota come into your house and destroy you. And I know Minnesota's a good team, but you are the defending NFC champs, and they came to your house and beat you up, 370 base sacks. And in Arizona, to the Bills, the Arizona's really number one for me, to the Bills and to the Rams, who got skunked by the 49ers opening night. Let's not forget that. You know, they lost them in back-to-back weeks and did not look good at all against the Bills and the Rams. So for me, it's definitely got to be Arizona 1 with Carolina right behind them at 2, given what's happened the past 2 weeks for Carolina and Arizona, really.
Yeah,
you're right about your Bengals. I'll give you a hard time, but the Bengals have not had a bad loss, and I definitely think it's not time to hit the panic button. But the rest of these teams have had some bad losses. I guess out of all five, the Bengals have been going on the road against Pittsburgh and then losing to the defending Super Bowl champions. They haven't had a horrible loss yet this year.
Gotcha. Good call, gentlemen. All right, I really want to get to, I know we got about 10 minutes here. I do want to get to the fantasy updates, Ralph. So can we talk about that really quickly before we move on with the other topics? Is that okay?
Toronto just won it. Oh, what a
bomb.
Toronto just won it.
All right.
Wow.
I'll be in Toronto this weekend. Blue Jays come to check y'all out.
Sorry,
nice.
My bad.
Good
I mean,
call.
He just hit a two-run
That's
home
okay.
run. And Carcion. Yep, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, fantasy
That's cool.
football updates. League number one, Gentilly Hot Sauces. Y'all ever had a hot sauces pool boy? You can't top that. But Gentilly Hot Sauces over Phenomenal One, 166-81.68. Congratulations, Corey from Atlanta with that win. Purple and Gold Patrol, Sean from Atlanta in first place in league number one.
Atlanta.
And league number two, Boxcar Willie 02 with the biggest win over my co-host, Ohio Players, JQ, 197.12 to 96.32. Boxcar Willie 02, Mark from New Orleans in first place as well, and he had the biggest win of the week as well. In league number three, winning Aaron, Bristol, Connecticut, ESPN area, 149.86 over L's Coalholics, 149.86 to 82.44. And my co-host got a bad loss, but he's in first place in this league, 4-0.
Yes, sir.
JQ
yes, sir.
Doing it.
Yes, sir.
And those are our fantasy shout-outs for the week.
The yang and the
Wait
yang.
A minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm 4-1 in one of these leagues, too, bro. And,
hey, man.
You know,
you had shout-outs the last
on,
2 weeks. We go for the biggest wins and whoever's in first place.
You don't want to show
love.
You don't want to
show
love.
I had a pretty good win, too. I should love, man. I had a pretty good win, though, with my matchup, man. So I'm just saying, I think.
Well, this was my worst fantasy
sure.
week. So this was my worst. I've been 1-3 in four leagues. So this is my worst week so far. I got to bounce back.
I think you just didn't want to say that Rise of Atlanta's Rise of Falcons. That's a whole other conversation. All right, bro. It's all good.
You got to hit the mute button every time you get ready to say that.
I don't know. It's like Pavlov's dog, right?
You got to be like the FCC. You know when they get ready to curse, they hit that button?
Hey, JQ. So my wife was listening, so she was like literally like texting the show, or she was like for the show, and then Rob was like, "Come get your husband." I'm like, I told her I had Marshall listen to the show last week, and she's like, "Yeah, he pretty much had it coming." So I'm just saying, man.
Hey, man, we got other stuff
that,
to talk
you know,
about
you
on
were
the show,
talking
dude.
So much junk. All right, hey, you brought it earlier, man. So I'm gonna keep on bringing it back.
We missed out on Kevin Durant. Not Kevin. Kevin Garnett shout out retiring last week because of your foolishness.
Here we go. Shout out for that, man. We got it back in.
Yes,
what
sir.
The foolishness? I told you it was gonna happen.
All right, man. All right.
former Pro Bowler Antonio. I'm getting back Antonio Camardi. What are your thoughts about that? JQ, what are your thoughts about that? Real quick, man.
I'm not surprised. He had a bad hip, and that's why he wasn't on the roster. Indianapolis was desperate because they had injuries, and they signed him. They said, oh, he really does have a bad hip. He's getting torched. Mm. So they cut him.
Yeah. I feel sorry for those 8 kids, man. Go ahead, Rob. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, right. Fire.
Hopefully he saves
like
his money.
13. It's like 13 kids,
yeah, really.
Actually.
I thought it was 13? Oh, stop.
No, yeah, it's more than 8, bro.
Okay.
Well, you know,
go ahead, Rob.
I don't have much to add. I mean, JQ hit it right on the nose. I mean, he got a bad hip, and it, I mean, and it just goes to show you. I mean, the Colts' defense is putrid, and it's kind of the same thing with the Saints and Keenan Lewis. You know, they had to cut him too because of a bad hip, and those are two teams with horrible defenses that could really use some healthy corners, and so that's unfortunate.
Corners are under premium now. Let's talk about this. Can the Vikings make the Super Bowl? This is pretty interesting about their crazy, awesome start. So go ahead. Your thoughts about this, JQ. Can they make the Super Bowl?
At this point, I mean, I was down on them, but I had to issue a mea culpa because that defense is fast and it is ferocious and it's phenomenal. And what they've done to Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, what they did to Eli and OBJ, I mean, it's hard to – I mean, I know their games were in Minnesota, but that defense is playing fantastic. And they don't have to have Sam Bradford be Drew Brees. You know, he doesn't have to throw for 350 yards for him just to have a chance to win. He just has to be diligent with the ball, have a semblance of a run game, and hit Kyle Rudolph over the middle and let that defense do what they do, and they're going to win games. The only thing I worry about them is that Blair Walsh has lost his confidence, and he might miss a really big kick for them that they need while going down the stretch in a tight game. But, I mean, they can make a definite run at it. That defense is for real, and if you didn't think they were, they are. They are very for real, and what they did to Cam Newton on the road. So you're talking about three pretty good quarterbacks that just made look pedestrian.
Yeah. Yeah, they're having memories of Gary Anderson. They want to bring that back with Blair Walsh, man. But, yeah, Rob, if I would have told you that Adrian Peterson was out and the way the Vikings are playing, you'd be very surprising. But, yeah, can they make the Super Bowl, Rob?
Well, absolutely. I mean, obviously this is a team that I picked to win that division in the preseason. Obviously I was kind of second-guessing it after Bridgewater, so they still kind of proving me wrong as well. After Bridgewater got hurt, I didn't know if they can still hold down a fort and win a division. I was kind of thinking it would go toward the Packers, and there's still a lot of football to be played, but that defense is tremendous. And for all the same reasons that JQ just mentioned, and I would have to say, in my opinion, I think the Vikings and the Seahawks are the top two teams in the NFC, and so they're also, you know, so I think they're definitely a team that can make it to the Super Bowl.
Good call. I've been waiting for this topic the whole time. Josh Norman says that the Panthers disrespected Julio Jones with their coverage. Go ahead, Rob. I want you to kind of take your time about this one. We're going to talk about this, Rob.
Well, number 25, I still hadn't figured out who he is for the Carolina Panthers, but whoever that was on Julio Jones, man, oh, man, I tell you what, man, that was ridiculous, man. He could not do anything with Julio Jones. Like I said earlier, when he was even in and when he was even on Julio Jones, he was missing tackles. And most of the time, Julio Jones was beating him. So, I mean, that was ridiculous. And obviously, well, number 25, I apologize, but man, that was a highlight reel that looked like you're going to be on for the rest of your life, son.
Yeah, 300 yards.
I think they should have brought more coverage toward Julio Jones to help that kid out.
Yeah, Ben Wickery, yeah, whatever you pronounce. I can't pronounce the Jew's name. Yeah,
Ben Wickery.
He was getting eaten up. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, and he's right. And I mean, for Josh Norman sitting there, I mean, we talked about Washington, but they won two in a row. They're 2-2. But he's looking around. He's saying, "Yeah, Carolina, you should have paid me that money. You're 1-3. You just got destroyed for 300 yards and a touchdown. Oh yeah, OBJ, you want to fight with me? And we beat you guys last week. Now the whole world's seeing what I've been trying to tell them. Now you got another week in a row where you lost your. I mean, right about now, it's good to be Josh Norman, I think. And he's got
that's true. Good call.
Absolutely. But the only thing I will add to that about Josh Norman, he's with the Redskins now. He shouldn't be paying attention to that. He should be worrying about his own team and his own business.
That's a good question.
Good call. All right, gentlemen, we got 2 minutes here. Let's really quickly go about these predictions. Houston at Minnesota, Atlanta at Denver. I'm going to chime in, and I think Minnesota should easily hand another loss to Minnesota. I think it's going to be a tough game for Atlanta and Denver. I hope we can pull it out, but it's going to be really come to Jesus for that. It's going to be tough for us on that stage. But go ahead, Rob, your thoughts about Houston and Atlanta and Denver.
Obviously, I like Minnesota to keep on winning. Denver-Atlanta, I think, is going to be very intriguing. That Atlanta offense, man, put up 40-some points 2 weeks in a row going against the Denver defense. I think Atlanta keeps it close, but I think Denver pulls it out. With just enough defense and just enough offense, I'm thinking somewhere like 27-24.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, Minnesota easily. And, you know, Roby and Tlaib, I think get it done. They're not going to fall into the same thing, but they have better cornerbacks. I think Denver wins at home by 7 points. I think it's a close game, but the Atlanta offense is for real, but I think that Denver defense is more for real, and I'm going to go with Denver. Sorry, Dre. That's tough.
No. Good call. It's going to be tough, Kev. I think that, too. Like, I'm not sure if Paxton Lynch is going to start. That may give us a slight edge, but we'll see. Good calls, man, for that, too, man. I'm still going to go with my boys because I think we're going to do some things, but it could be close no matter what. Gentlemen, Rob, we got a minute. Go ahead and wrap up the show for us, sir.
Texas A&M over Tennessee. Arkansas upsets Alabama, people. Good night. We'll be all back on air next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard.